The Brad Sessmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Great Monday. Thanks for being with us. It's a couple weeks left in the year. Today is... I drove in the fog today. Eric, did you have fog? I know Jared Ironman had to have fog coming from where he... People, like, the fog happens and... All of a sudden, they just don't know how to drive.
I have fog in my head, but no,
fog
I, did
in
not,
your head.
I did not have experience any fog on my commute this morning.
I have dense fog in my head at times. You would admit to that. You would agree.
Yes.
I would think. Yes.
It is a damp morning outside.
It's a beautiful morning. This reminds me of growing up in Carlsbad. You know, it's just I walk out and I see fog and can't see down to the end of our street. And I'm thinking, okay, fog, Arizona, bad combination. And sure shooting, I get on the freeway today. And people just, they just don't know. They don't know how to drive in the fog. It cannot be that hard to drive. Iron Man made it here on time. I'm here. We come from Timbuktu. We come from the New Mexico border to do this show every day. And fog just should not be that big of a detriment. So I get that off my chest. I'm doing my Heisman Trophy ballot even as we speak. I've got it open. I cannot talk about it. This is a year that is much more confusing to me. It's not as slam dunk as many fans think that it is because I'm just looking around at everybody, and we cannot talk about exactly who we're voting for. But I will tell you, it's just not that easy this year. We have James Lofton coming up here in about 10 minutes. So James did the Cardinal game yesterday, or the Steeler home game yesterday. Did you? I watched some of that. I was at the ASU football banquet last night, Eric. Was that game played at Heinz Field?
It was. And it was funny because the CBS announcers made several mentions of the fact that it's really like a Steelers home game. They didn't just mention it once, but they'd show, you know, they'd pan through the crowd and you'd see all the terrible towels, not just on the visitor
side. The duckheads,
on the Cardinals side, too, which is... The Cardinal fans are like, yep, we're going to sell these tickets and make a lot of money, and you go enjoy the game, and I'll watch it on TV.
We're going to pay for Christmas.
Yep, we're going to get Christmas taken care of. Absolutely.
Michael Fabiano is going to be with us here in a couple of minutes. We're going to talk with Michael about what exactly to do with David Johnson now, because the Cardinals used him yesterday. And then Jake Plummer. So this is a big week for Jake Plummer. Jake is going into the College Football Hall of Fame in New York City. And the Sun Devil legendary quarterback is going to be with us. I want to talk to him about Jaden Daniels, what he sees out of him. Obviously, Jake's career, we've talked about it. He's been a friend through the years. I'm not, you know, very seldom do I get close to people. I've gotten close to this guy. And it's just because there's a lot about him away from sports that I really, really like. So we'll have Jake with us on today's show. So we're jam-packed. Our opening comments are brought to you by Sagicor Now. Protect what matters most. That is with life insurance. I was talking with president of Sagicor, Michael Stricker, a while back about some ideas that I see in the world of insurance and sports. You know, life insurance can cover a whole lot of things you may not have thought about. It can even assist you in your college planning if you're that parent that is sitting there and saying, how in God's green earth are we going to be able to afford to put away a few bucks? You can look into your life insurance, some different ways that you can use it. It's not just if you didn't come home tonight. That's a big part of it. It's a big part of it. You didn't come home tonight. Would everything be handled the way that you want it to be, the way that it should be? Log on, get your free quote at Sagicor Now. That's at Sagicor Now. We appreciate Sagicor Now and their support. I feel like in town, the idea of should the Cardinals fire Steve Keim or not is just wasting time. This has been an ongoing topic. It's been an ongoing conversation. If this were most any other business, the general manager would have been fired. I don't dislike Steve Keim personally. I don't like the direction that the program has gone under him in the last few years. The goodwill that has been built up is now gone. If Michael Bidwell cannot sit there in the owner's box yesterday and be embarrassed and humiliated and see what has gone on, to Eric's point, where fans are saying, we're dumping our tickets. That's what we do here in Phoenix. We are not Pittsburgh. We are not Chicago. We are not the loyal fans that are going to be here through thick and thin. We are going to dump our tickets. If the team is taking a dump on the field, we are not going to support this. You know, you can try to market all you want about, you know, protect the nest and all that stuff. That doesn't work when you're 3-8-1. It doesn't work when it's 3 years since you made the playoffs. It doesn't work when you have a coach and you have a quarterback and you fire both of them a year ago, and now you're in a space where it's fair to ask, did the Cardinals miss, even though I don't think they did? Did they miss on Cliff Kingsbury? Did they miss on Kyler Murray? Steve Wilks is coming back this week. Steve Wilks walks to the mailbox and he still gets a check from the Arizona Cardinals. They paid him to go away. Bye, you're fired. See you later. Thank you for playing. And so, you know, to sit here and gnash your teeth over they gave up a big special teams play and they finally used David Johnson, and Kyler looks to me a little worn down and a little gun shy. He reminds me a little bit of what it was like with Josh Rosen towards the end, where, you know, Josh would get out there and was deer in headlights. And that's what it looked like to me with Kyler Murray from what I saw in yesterday's game. I was at the ASU football banquet last night. I actually sat at Herm Edwards' table. It was kind of nice. J.P. Patchett, one of our partners here with Columbus Meats, called me a couple weeks back and said, hey, I want you to come sit at Herm's table with me at the awards dinner. So I had this front table. Herm was engaging. We talked about things other than football, which was kind of fun. And there's some football things, too. His wife was charming. My wife and her hit it off. I was all good. I was not working. Derek Hall was the MC last night. And he did a fine job. And they had all these seniors up on the, I think it was 17 seniors that they honored last night. That's a lot. Next year they have 7. And that's, again, speaks to what was going on here before Herm showed up. Now, they're going to El Paso. Herman got a good laugh out of the room when he said, we're taking the bus and we're stopping for ice cream. And you could see a couple of the seniors like rolling their eyes saying, really? We had to take the bus to Vegas last year. And then he said, we'll fly home as long as you guys win the game. And that got a good laugh. So he was great. Jaden Daniels he's fun. There's something I like about him. And when they asked him to make a speech as the offensive MVP, the offensive team MVP, he just walked up and basically did a mic drop about, yeah, I'm just young. I'm going to be back here. See you later. Gone. You know, Kyle Williams is such a great story off the field. He got the Pat Tillman Award last night. And to see him, two of the close Sun Devil boosters, which I liked, they decked out the seniors. They got to dress the seniors. Seniors get to choose their outfit, and they had it fitted. So these guys look sharp. They look smooth. It was a very nice event last night. Very at the Camelback Inn. I really had a nice time. James Lofton's on the other side, then Michael Fabiano and Jake Plummer on a Monday. I'm Brad Sussmat. All right, I got to get a little deeper now into the Steeler home game yesterday in Glendale with James Lofton, NFL on CBS analyst. Did the game, was in the booth yesterday. Have you ever seen, James, I appreciate you coming on board, have you ever seen a You're game welcome. Where the visiting team completely owned a stadium like yesterday in Glendale?
Believe it or not, yes, I have. I happen to have been a coach for the then San Diego Chargers early 2002 and all the way through 2007. And it was really ironic. The last game that I did for Westwood One Radio was a Chargers-Raiders game in Qualcomm Stadium in December of 2001. And conservatively, the crowd was 80% Raiders. And over my first 3-4 years with the Chargers, that started to go the opposite direction. More Charger fans started coming in. They changed the way that you had to buy the tickets. You had to buy ticket packages. You couldn't just buy single games. And so the Chargers did some creative things. And the Chargers had the same issue. The Los Angeles Chargers had the same issue against the Steelers early this year.
That's
when
right.
They played in the old, what used to be StubHub. I don't know the new name of the stadium, but their little 25,000-seat stadium, there were probably 23,000 Steeler fans. And when they wave the terrible towels, it blacks out the other team's colors right away anyways.
Does it make a difference? I mean, could you tell yesterday?
Sure. Oh, yeah, it makes a difference.
Yep.
It really does. I had talked to a couple of the Cardinal coaches on offense, and they said, we're preparing to use a silent count at home because of the crowd noise that we might face. So, you know, those things you're well aware of. You try not to let it get to you. I heard Philip Rivers, who's a quarterback for the San Diego Chargers say, or the Los Angeles Chargers rather, say, we have 16 road games this year.
Yeah.
And so it's an interesting dynamic. But I've often told people this, that in all the years that I've done broadcasting, when I worked for Westwood One and now with CBS, when I'm traveling and I'm connecting from San Diego either through Phoenix, Chicago, or Dallas, or even flying nonstop somewhere, invariably there will be someone on my plane with Steeler paraphernalia on. Whether they're going, coming, or just love their team, they travel better than the Green Bay Packers. You know, it's a larger city.
Yeah.
But, you know, people, maybe they don't stay in Pittsburgh forever. They relocate a lot of different places.
NFL on CBS's James Lofton is with us. He did the Cardinal game on Sunday against the Steelers. All right, back me into the preparation that you had with the Cardinal coaches and players from there to the game. What did you make out of what's going on here in Arizona with the Cardinals?
Well, I think the fact that they have found their quarterback is very refreshing. And then to constantly try and build that team around them, to have the pieces available, to draft well. I know Steve Keim has a really good eye for talent. He had it when Bruce Arians was the head coach there. He didn't lose it last year, obviously. But, you know, they're still a few players away, and they kind of need to get the defense shored up.
You know, Keim's case, he is taking a lot of heat over here, James.
Sure.
And fans want him out, and he's had a 20-year run over here. I feel like when I see the roster, Steve's fingerprints are all over it, but at the same time, it's getting harder and harder to say, well, look, they got to a Super Bowl in the Carson Palmer era. It feels like to me that this thing is coming close to have run its course.
Well, you could say that, but what you have is you have somebody who knows how to get the job done. And if he and Cliff are on the same page together in terms of what do I need for my team? What do I need for this team? Because that's what a general manager has to be. He can't be just one vision. He has to be very flexible. He has to understand the offensive and defensive schemes and what players fit best in those schemes. And every once in a while, you're gonna miss on a higher pick, a first or second rounder. And it depends on how quickly you move on, you get to the next phase. Hassan Reddick is a prime example. Not a great inside linebacker. And what they're doing now is they're taking some looks at him as an outside pass rusher. Mm-hmm. So they have to play him, you know, where Suggs is playing, and find out if he can play that position. And if he can do that opposite Chandler Jones, he could have a future there.
In terms of the development, when we look at where Kyler Murray is, James, from what you heard to seeing him in person, was he what you expected?
You know, it's interesting. I had started hearing about Kyler Murray when he was in the eighth grade.
Mm.
And I know that's a long time ago, but, you know, you take a kid who was 42-0 in high school, I think 12-2 in college, and now he's had his third loss in the NFL, or ninth loss, rather. And I just think that's tough. It wears on you a little bit, and, you know, you have to have a certain resolve. He is going to be a frenetic pace quarterback. He's going to scramble around. He's going to move. He's going to provide excitement. He's going to have a lot of ooh and ah plays as you watch him play. And you still got to build the roster around him and develop a great offensive line, get the running back situation tied up, and you know, continue to get receivers from to throw to.
When you see Fitz at this stage of his career, and you had a tremendous career, James, let's not sugarcoat it, what do you see out of Larry at this stage of his career and the productivity?
You know, I'm impressed. And when I was out at practice on Friday and I talked to Larry, and I know that Wednesday and Thursday are not full load work days for him, but he was the heartbeat of practice on Friday. I mean, the energy level that he has, that he displayed on Friday, is the same thing that you kind of see on Sundays at a game. And if he can do that in practice, he can continue to play and be a 65 to 80 catch guy in this offense. And I think he is so durable, such a majestic, that I think that in terms of leadership, because leadership is you show by example, on the practice field. You show by what you can do in the game, and then you can be vocal. And so he can do all three of those, and I think he can still do them really well.
Could he catch Rice? I mean, that's the big question. Can he catch Jerry Rice?
What is Jerry Rice at? 22,000 yards and Larry's at 17,000?
Yeah. It's a lot.
That's a lot to ask.
That's a lot. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I think the next one, can he get to 20,000?
Yeah.
I think that's such a huge barrier.
But you would know. You're a guy that whose opinion, when I saw that you were coming on the show, you would know.
So when I was with the Chargers, we would bring in wide receivers every year for a visit. And in 2004, we brought in Larry. So normally on a visit, guy would come in, I'd show him the weight room, show him the facility. We'd go out to dinner. I had a $200 budget. When Larry came in, we went out to dinner. I had showed him the weight room. The owner came. The general manager came. The head coach came. The offensive coordinator came. The running back coach came, and the offensive line coach came.
$200 budget.
And other front office people came. And so there was no budget for Larry Fitzgerald. And he has proven to be that type of player. You know, he still needles me about the fact that we didn't pick him number one. The Chargers picked Eli Manning. We made the trade with Phillip Rivers. Yep. Robert Gallery was picked before him to the Raiders. And perhaps Arizona was the perfect place for him to go. Maybe he hasn't won as many championships as what people would have liked. But he has been everything for an organization that wants a great player. And for people to walk around that town in number 11 jerseys, he means something far greater than just being an outstanding football player, in my estimation.
There's number 11s and there's number 40s for Pat Tillman. And that's base, and some 13s for Kurt. But it's right. You're right about that. Hey, really enjoyed the conversation, James. Thanks for catching up with us.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
It's James Lofton with us, CBS NFL analyst. Good stuff there. Love that story on Fitz. That's a good one. Michael Fabiano, All Things Fantasy Football from the NFL Network on the other side. Jake Plummer from the National Football Foundation Hall of Fame coming up later. Last night I was at the Arizona State football banquet and Danny White walked in, the great Dallas Cowboy and Sun Devil. And he does a Dallas Cowboy broadcast on radio. And I pulled him aside and said, so what is going on? Because I have my friend Michael Fabiano on Monday's show, and I always like to give him, you know, the business. And Danny shook his head, and he just said, this is the most talented, good group of Dallas Cowboy guys, and it's the most maddening team I've ever seen. And I said, now that's a lot of years, Danny. He said, no, this is the most maddening. So with that as the backdrop, we welcome in Michael Fabiano because the Cowboys lost to the Bears. And Michael had to wear a Bears jersey I saw on his social. Danny's great. Were you a Danny White guy growing up?
Danny White and Tony Dorsett are probably the two biggest reasons I'm a Cowboys fan.
Really?
I love Danny White growing up. He was just, I feel like Danny White was one or two plays away from potentially being in the Hall of Fame. Because remember, the Cowboys had like a 3-year stretch where we lost in the NFC Championship game and of course everyone knows the catch. I mean, if Danny gets us to one Super Bowl and he wins one Super Bowl, and we probably would have, especially against Cincinnati, Danny White could end up being on the conversation of, you know, being a borderline Hall of Famer. Like, he was a really good quarterback.
If I were to arrange to have a lunch with you and Danny White, would you be okay with that, or would you be like slobbering?
Heck yeah! Would you
be slobbering?
Yes, that would absolutely be tremendous.
Okay, done. Yeah. I can make that happen. And you only have to bid on it at an auction. I'll make that happen.
Okay. Let's do it.
Okay.
Yeah, no, I was a big fan of his growing up. Yeah, him and Tony D.
Can you figure out David Johnson's use over here with the Cardinals? Because yesterday...
Is he hurt? Like, I don't know. I mean, that's the only explanation is that he's not 100%.
But he scored yesterday. Now do you use him in the playoffs? Everybody's up against
no,
it. They don't know what to do.
He played 35% of the snaps. I can't. I mean, the touches are still not there. I can't do it.
All right.
And I love David. I can't play him. Like, I mean, if I'm playing anybody, it's Kenyon Drake.
Yeah.
You've got three running backs in there who saw, you know, at least 10 offensive snaps, Chase Edmonds being, I guess, third on the totem pole there. But I can't do it. And this game coming up, like, it could be a high-scoring game against Cleveland. But I can't. At this point in the season, you've got to be playing players who are getting pretty high snap rates. Their target or touch share should be pretty significant, and or they've sort of fallen into like bigger roles. For like example, like, you know, DeAndre Washington in Oakland. If Josh Jacobs can't play, they have the Jaguars next week. I mean, that's a great matchup. I can't play David. I hope he does great. I can't trust him at this point. I had him in one league and I dropped him.
All right. I got to bore the audience here with my fantasy team because I'm really stuck. I've got James Washington, Robbie Anderson, and A.J. Brown. And I think it's pretty obvious that I can't play Robbie Anderson against the Ravens, but maybe I'm wrong. And James Washington did nothing yesterday, and A.J. Brown was on my bench, and I still won with 30 points on my bench because I'm an idiot by not playing him. So what do I do with those? What do I do with those three? Which two?
To be honest with you, I mean, I would have played Robbie Anderson out of those three yesterday.
I did.
And he had a great, really good game.
He was great.
I mean, right. A.J. Brown was like a sort of a, more of like a, I don't know if he's a sleeper anymore, but I mean, the matchup was good. Let's put it that way.
Yeah.
But I mean, there's teams right now that are giving up. Like the Cowboys, they seem to have given up. and the Jaguars have definitely given up. So no one saw such a huge performance coming. Although I told you last week, Ryan Tannehill was a really good play. This guy's been awesome.
Yeah.
But I mean, this week, you know, A.J. Brown's, he's got a pretty good matchup too. Looking ahead at the schedule here, he's got Houston. That could be a high scoring game. I mean, Houston just gave up a big stat line to Drew Lock. I don't know what the hell happened in that game. That's one of those things. It's one of the examples, and there's a million of them, of like, how the heck are we supposed to predict what goes on in the National Football League when Houston beats the Patriots and then the following week in a trap game loses to a quarterback who has started one game in the National Football League? It's amazing.
They found their answer in Denver. It's Drew Lock. No, I'm just kidding.
And so good, you know, great for him. And hopefully, you know, he's tremendous and the Broncos organization now has their QB. But boy, I tell you something, earlier in the season, all I heard coming out of Denver was that Drew Lock was not ready. He didn't look ready. He looks pretty good now to me, Brad. I can tell you that right now.
Okay, Mike Fabiano with us, the Hall of Famer right there at the NFL Network. Tampa Bay is the epicenter, I think, for fantasy because what do you do with Jameis Winston? He has 5 touchdowns. He has 3 picks. He has a cracked thumb. You have Mike Evans who's hurt.
Yeah.
What are you hearing out of Tampa Bay?
So Mike Evans is I feel like he's not going to play again this season. That just didn't look very good. And Jameis, I believe, is going to be having tests done on that finger. So he has a tiny fracture now. He was able to play through it. The good news is that if it's not a significant injury, he's got Detroit coming up next week. So that's a really good matchup.
Mm-hmm.
The bad news is that he'll do it without his number one wide receiver. If you have Chris Godwin, you're thrilled, although he'll probably get the Darius Slay treatment in that contest. But yeah, Jameis Winston has been like the roller coaster ride of all roller coaster rides in fantasy football because the ups and downs, I mean, the peaks and the valleys with this guy. And he was a monster from a fantasy perspective in this game against Indianapolis. You know, huge game. You just mentioned the numbers. And if he's playing against the Lions, I can't see him not being a top 10 play at quarterback in week 15 because that matchup is really good.
Mark Andrews, what's the latest in Baltimore?
I believe that he's avoided a serious injury. I would be keeping tabs, of course, on his status throughout the week. But they do have a short week, which could be a problem. So in that case, there are some tight ends you can pick up off the waiver wire, like Tyler Higbee's been gangbusters the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
If Jared Everett can't play, then Higbee should be one of your priorities. Even David Njoku's got the Cardinals next week, right? Cardinals defense, although Vance McDonald got hurt, didn't really do much. It was Charles Clay had a better game than the Steelers tight end, which was sort of strange, but that's fantasy football for you. And then Ian Thomas, if Greg Olsen can't play again due to that concussion, he's got Seattle. And he was a featured option for Kyle Allen in that game yesterday, so for Carolina. So Ian Thomas is also a guy that you can pick up if for some reason Mark Andrews is not able to play again because there is that short week.
We're expecting Pat Mahomes to work through it and play with that throwing hand injury?
We talked about this on a podcast. And, you know, again, one of those, well, it's really hard to predict the NFL. At this time last year, the thought of sitting Patrick Mahomes was, you know, sacrilege, dude. He was just unbelievable. It's kind of like Lamar Jackson this year. Patrick Mahomes has not been a good fantasy quarterback in his last 3 games. He's had one game with 19 points. This past week he had around 13. Then he had another game with around 15. That's not good. That's not what we drafted Patrick Mahomes for. And I can tell you right now, if I had Ryan Tannehill and Patrick Mahomes, and I'm looking at that matchup against Houston this week, I would not blame anyone who decided that they were going to sit Patrick Mahomes this week. I get it. It sounds bananas. But in that instance, I mean, Tannehill's been better than Mahomes over the last 4 or 5 weeks. Look at the numbers. He's been tremendous. So Mahomes has not been what we had hoped for. I don't know if it's because he's at less than 100%. You know, with the hand, he's a little bit banged up. But this is a lesson to everyone out there. This is why I tell people you cannot draft a player based on his ceiling, and you cannot draft a quarterback early. And we are going to have this discussion next season about Lamar Jackson, and I love Lamar Jackson, and he's a beast, and I projected him to be a breakout quarterback, maybe not to this level this season, but people are going to draft Lamar Jackson in home leagues next season in the first round and the second round, and I promise you they're going to be disappointed. And that's what people are dealing with right now with Patrick Mahomes, because this guy was the fantasy football god of quarterbacks last season, had the best season ever, and now you're in week 15 wondering if you should start him.
That's good. That's good. I'll let you go off that. Appreciate your time and your insight. Thanks. Busy Monday.
All right. Take care, my friend.
Okay. See you. There's Michael Fabiano right there at the NFL Network. Jake Plummer on going into the National Football Foundation Hall of Fame. That's next. This is a big week if you're an Arizona State Sun Devil fan, because Jake Plummer is going into the National Football Foundation College Football Hall of Fame in New York City. Jake's going to do New York. He joins us via Skype as he's about ready to take off. Congratulations. We talked in January when this first came out. Now that the moment is here, have you written the speech? Have you thought about all the thank yous? Have you thought about who you're going to ask for autographs? Because there's some amazing names going in with you.
All of the above. You know, I don't accept that they're not requiring us to make a speech or do any type of like formalized speaking at the event, which you breathe a sigh of relief. I've sent out a lot of thank yous. I've invited as many people as I could get in touch with and find, you know, that I felt were important to be there. You know, the crew, I mean, the coaches really are the most important guys, Cazzetto and Hugh Jackson, Petrino. You know, unfortunately, you know, Bruce Snyder's not around, but mm-hmm. His wife and a daughter are going to be there to represent him and be part of the festivities. So, you know, other ASU staff members that were instrumental in my, you know, my evolution there at Arizona State will all be there. My family, brothers, it's going to be a great event. I'm still kind of shocked and even like thinking, oh, wow, this isn't really real. Just, you know, the magnitude of getting into the Hall of Fame and who I'm representing and who I'm going in with. There's some amazing athletes, some really phenomenal football players and coaches. And then also just the history of the ASU, you know, Sun Devils that are already in the Hall of Fame. I'm joining a really special, pretty elite class, and I'm honored. I just still feel like, you know, I'm going in to represent, you know, that the 90-plus players that were on that 96 team and all the guys that I played with the 3 years prior. I feel like I'm representing them more than myself individually, and also, you know, Sun Devils and everyone out there that cheered me on and supported me and really was patient with me as I evolved and developed as a young man into a quarterback leading that team to the Rose Bowl. And like Bruce Snyder said right way back, I was the piece of the puzzle to help possibly win a national title, and we damn near did. So all in all, I'm going to soak it all in and enjoy it. You know, as a 44-year-old about to be 45, you know, there's not many more Hall of Fames that I'm going to get inducted into, and if any. So this is really one that I'm going to relish and enjoy and have fun.
Jake Plummer joining us. He's going into the College Football Hall of Fame this week with the National Football Foundation, putting on a tremendous event in New York City. All right, who do you want to meet? Who do you want to ask for an autograph from? Like, you're going to be sitting at your table, you're like, that is so-and-so. I've always, because you're a big sports fan, first and foremost, yeah, as long as we've known each other. So is there anybody on the list that you're like, I have to meet this guy and ask for the autograph from this guy?
You know, I'm not a big autograph seeker, really. You know, I don't really even take pictures much. You know, it's more just for the experience and getting to, you know, to meet these guys and know some of them I played against.
Sure.
You know, one that I'm going to be excited to meet and just talk to a little bit is Troy Polamalu, because I feel like, you know, I got to play against him. I watched his career. He was a phenomenal football player. Had I been a defensive player, I would have hoped and dreamt and aspired to play football like he did, just with it, all out passion, leaving it all on the field, no fear, you know, reckless abandon, leading his guys, you know, just a tone setter to the 1,000th degree. You know, Polamalu was a baller. So I'm excited, really excited to meet him and sit next to him. I've met him and played against him, but never got to spend much time, you know, getting to kind of see what he's all about. And I'm excited for that, for him, for sure. And then, you know, it goes down the line. Everyone going in, I mean, there's some amazing athletes, amazing college players that went on and had some great careers. You know, I'm going to soak it all in, like I said. And, you know, on the flip side of that, I hope some of them are excited to meet me and see what I'm about. And, you know, it's a pretty neat honor. The percentage of guys that play college ball and coach that get inducted into the Hall of Fame. I'm joining a really elite, small percentage, you know, class. And that's really when it sinks in, is how special this honor is just the number of players and coaches that have gone through and played college ball to be selected. It's very humbling, and I'm honored, and I'm going to soak it in and enjoy getting to see a guy like Dennis Erickson, another Sun Devil, old Sun Devil coach, and an Idaho guy with Idaho roots, with coaching at U of I way back in the day. And I never got to play for him, but I think it would have been fun to play for him. And I see him in the summer, so it's going to be fun to see him, obviously, and go in at the same time he is.
I think it'd be fun to watch you when someone walks up to you who's a player that wants to meet you and just see your reaction. I think the blown away part of it for you would be like, that guy wanted to meet me, because that's not your deal. That's not in your DNA.
Well, you know, when everything's said and done, I set out to play my heart out on the field for wherever I was at, whatever team I was with. And at ASU, you know, there was three building years to really culminate in that amazing 96 season. All I try to do, and all I can look back on as far as, you know, what people are going to remember is hopefully there's respect there for how I carried myself, you know, how I played the game and cared about my teammates. You know, that was one of Bruce Snyder's main things on our core credos of being a Sun Devil, was to care about your teammates. So if all in all, I just hope that, you know, there's respect, there's mutual respect, and, you know, it'll be fun just to see, you know, really how these guys are doing now, post-career. Yep. There's a lot of, you know, concern in my mind, you know, just make sure they're doing okay and have things they're getting involved in, and, you know, just continuing to strive for greatness. You know, when you're an athlete at the highest level, like all of us were, you know, life can get, you know, can be a little bit less exciting than when you were playing ball. But if you can find something you're passionate about, which I believe all these guys have, it'll be fun to see what that is and ask them those questions, and then in turn share my story of what I've been up to, and let them know and you know, see in their eyes that, hey, life goes on, and when you're an elite athlete, you really set your mind to anything, you can go accomplish that. So it's going to be fun to see what these guys are doing now, because, you know, we're not done when we're done playing. A lot of these guys go on and continue to do great things.
Well, it's okay. So it leads me into Ready List. So we have Ready List up on the show. We've been running spots for it. I talk to people about it here in the Valley. This is Jake's venture that you have been at for how long now? Have you been? It's not been long. And how's it going?
We've been going about 5 years when it first just started as a concept, and we started asking coaches and showing it to them. We went through one iteration, which was okay. It was great, and people liked it, but we didn't like how it functioned. So we went back to the drawing board, and here in 2020, we're launching version 2, which is going to be offense, defense, and basically a full-on offensive playbook. You can test on everything, protections, progressions, formations, motions, everything you could imagine we've thought of. And now it's just, you know, showing coaches. I mean, you coaches out there, you haven't seen it yet. When you see it, you will regret that you didn't use it last year or the year before. So pay attention, because we're about to blow up, and we're really the future of what people are going to how coaches are going to coach and teach, and how players are going to learn. And it's really exciting. I never imagined I'd be a tech entrepreneur, but here I am. And with my connections and speaking back on the respect that I garnered as a player, you know, when I make some phone calls and get people to check this out, there's response there, and that's really all you can ask for as a former player, is that, you know, you're respected across the coaching spectrum and player spectrum. And, you know, for me, it's exciting to see where Ready List goes. I know that once the big boys start using it, that it's going to spread like wildfire.
Okay, so Ready List Pro, check it out. That was good. I like that. when you see Jaden Daniels, What do you see? When people have asked me, I say, I see some Jake Plummer in Jaden Daniels. Fire away on him.
Well, I think you see the 6'2 or 6'3, 174, you know, pounds, and see, you know, kind of a scrappy player like I was when I got to ASU. You know, he's got it. I was super impressed with him through the year, this year, his true freshman year, how poised he was, how cool he was on the field, how he was just unafraid to make plays. And I think, you know, when you're coached well, and I think he can even get coached even better. And that's what's exciting about what's happening now at ASU with Herm. You know, I hate to see Likens go. I really liked Rob Likens, but I think that move was made because you're watching a kid here that really, he's not there yet, but he has so much potential. You know, the ability to push the ball down the field anywhere with any type of throw. His deep ball is beautiful. He throws a deep ball like Jeff Blake. If you can recall, one of the best deep ball throwers I've ever seen, Jeff Blake would throw the ball like Jaden throws it, similar to Jeff Blake, with a lot of air under it. He drops it in like a dime over their shoulders into the receiver's hands. You saw him do that routinely through the season. So sky's the limit for this kid. But, you know, 1 year doesn't make him an all-time great or an All-American. He's got to put in the work starting now, make sure he finishes up the bowl game and, you know, gets his body healthy and gets back to working on what he needs to improve on. And I really like the kid. I Herm told me way back, this kid's got it, and he wasn't lying. When you watch him play, he definitely has the ability to lead his team, you know, make plays when needed, and he's fearless out there. So that's the main thing. I start to get my hackles up, though, every time these TV guys start talking about how frail he is and how he needs to put on weight and all this stuff. And meanwhile, these guys are eating popcorn and hot dogs and sucking on Coca-Cola, putting on bad weight, when they don't even realize this kid's what he is, because, you know, he's skinny and slender, but he's strong and he's lean, and weight will come on naturally. It can't be something he forces, because what he's done his whole career is play with that body that he's in. And you see him, he takes hits. He's not going to break. This kid's tough. I'm excited to see what comes in the future. But like I said, he's got a lot of work to continue to do to get better, not only improve on what he can do well, but really analyze his weaknesses and go and attack them this offseason with the right coach that they bring in. And, you know, like I said, he's a great recruiting tool, and the sky's the limit right now at ASU with what they've done this year and how they closed out the season with two huge wins.
All right, one other question on this with ASU. And I don't mean this in any disrespect, but we know each other enough. I've shot straight through the years. It's been 23 years since ASU's been to a Rose Bowl game. Mm-hmm. Do you like the direction of where the program is headed? I've asked you this question for 23 years, okay? And so I'm just, if you and I are shooting straight, do you like where they're heading now?
I think that they're on a trajectory for, you know, as good as they can be. And I mean, football is a strange game, because obviously we saw this year, you know, they went on a 4-game losing streak, and it was tough. Just bad breaks, a couple missed tackles, a couple missed plays, and those four losses are wins. And, you know, that's that razor's edge that players play on. And I think with everything Herm's doing, the staff that he's building around these kids, the message that he's continuing to preach to them, to believe in what they're being taught and to buy in and be a Sun Devil, be here now, and do everything that these coaches are telling them to do and providing for them. I see great things happening at ASU. The stadium's redone. The recruiting is getting way better, because, you know, LA is where you got to get players out of LA, and Herm is attacking LA with his staff. They're hiring guys specifically to go recruit California, and I like it. I like what they're doing. I don't think there's a kid out there that would want to put that pitchfork on their chest and wear it proudly, because it looks nice. It feels nice. The stadium looks good. Everything they've done in the facilities is top notch. Now they got the coaching staff there to not only get these kids to become Sun Devils, but to teach them and educate them on football. With the minds they have in that room, in that building, and the ones they're going to still maybe even bring in here soon, you know, the sky's the limit. It's a matter of these kids taking care of business, Number one is staying eligible, taking care of schoolwork. And then number two is putting in the work, not only in the weight room, but together as a team out on the field. And I think that's what Herm's teaching them is, hey, that this doesn't come easy. There's work behind this. And if you want it bad enough, you'll all band together. And I see they got the kid in place, Jaden, to hopefully take charge and lead this thing. Now, who else is going to step in with him? That's where, you know, these other guys got to step up and lead. You know, Merlin on defense and a lot of the young players that stepped in, now they've proven they can play. Now it's, you know, hey, show me that you're not scared to put in the work, because it's not just on game days you got to do it. You got to do it every single day. And once they get that going, which I think they're there, I see good things happening.
All right. Enjoy the Statue of Liberty. You're going to go tour around, right? I mean, you're going to, I can see you walk in New York City and doing Broadway and all that. You're going to,
The first thing I'm going to do is go find a pizza joint and get a nice big slice of pepperoni pie.
There you go. There you go.
And go sit somewhere and just watch the scene and watch the craziness unfold at New York City. I can only handle that place for a couple of days. So, we're going to go there for a couple of days and really enjoy it, soak it in. And, you know, to all the Sun Devils out there, thanks for always believing in me and still to this day. Brad, thank you for always being there for me. And I'm representing all of us Sun Devils out there. I'm representing all of you in the Hall of Fame this week. And I'm super proud and honored and going to do my best to represent you well.
See you later. Take care. Thanks for the time.
All right. Go Devils.
There's Jake Plummer with us via Skype. New York City and Jake, the National Football Foundation, the College Football Hall of Fame. Good stuff there with Jake Plummer.